back to everybody's favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I felt different. I think I said it different that time. I don't know. Whatever. What's going on, everybody? I am Zoinks, and today I am joined by not the birthday boy. I am joined by the other co-host, Bridget. Bridget, welcome to the show. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. No dupe stacks. We're up.
Yeah, you finally defeated the other support main on the broadcast team here.
Yes.
You have removed him permanently. No, of course, Dupesnax has not gone permanently. I think he just, his time of recording, his birthday was the day before. So I think we can all understand. The man's a party animal, you know, just needs some time to recover. And certainly a podcast is not going to be a part of that. But I think he's just spending time with his family and his daughter, which is wonderful.
We have to give paid
time off as a part of our podcast. It's a whole thing. A while back, all the co-hosts tried to unionize and I had to shut that down. So that in doing that, I had to give vacation time. It's a whole thing. Anyways, don't want to get into the legality of my
anti-union Zoinks, by the way. Good to know.
I need some good scabs to get on the other side. All right. Anyway, that's the only like union joke I could think to make.
That's where mine ends too.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, something about busting. Anyway. Yes, it is just Bridget and I for the podcast episode today, but we seriously have so much to get through. It was a absolutely crazy weekend of Pokemon Unite. Probably one of the most exciting weekends that we have had all season long, especially in terms of like what it looks like for the road ahead to the World Championships. And then, of course, we also had a pretty decently sized patch hit the game. You gotta be the judge of how big of a patch it was. These once-a-month patches have definitely seen their fair share of criticism or praise or vitriol. Kind of depends on who you are. We'll be talking about the patch. We'll be talking about all the regions that have their qualifications, probably mostly in-depth towards NA and EU, even though NA is not finished. And then, of course, we have another tournament to break down as Bridget played in a Valorant competition. And, of course, we need a full tournament report from her on that. So, Bridget, maybe we start with that. The people are dying to know. How did the Clickin' Heads video game go for you over the weekend?
It was awesome. We, like, owned so hard. We got fourth. It was, don't ask
top
how many
four.
Teams were in it.
Top four.
Yep.
Yeah, we never dream
cut.
Of it.
We top we cut, yeah. don't worry about it. Don't watch the mod.
Okay.
no shout-outs. We had a really good time, though. We probably had the least amount of experience out of all of the teams.
Okay.
But it was actually, I actually enjoyed playing Valorant. I'm not an FPS guy, so.
Okay. Do you think any of your Unite skills transferred?
When you were planting a spike,
were you like, I'm ripping Ray?
No, I wish I should have said that. I was playing Sage, like the free support character you get. And she can, like, put up walls, and I did say many times I feel like Crystal, because I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm helping or if I'm making it worse. I learned that if they didn't tell me good wall after I did it, it was probably bad.
Okay, way to read the room. That's nice.
We had fun.
That's hilarious. Do you, actually, now I'm thinking, because in Valorant, Sage Walls, you can shoot at them to break them sooner than they would naturally decay. I am wondering what, like, the impacts would be if you could shoot Crustle Walls with, like, abilities.
And,
like,
love
break
that.
Them sooner.
Yeah, that would be actually really nice.
It would be, but it would be, like, a brand new type of, like, terrain, because normal walls in the game don't stop spells, right? So, like, you would essentially be having, like, a wall that, like, you would have to theoretically stop a spell from an enemy team with. I think it would actually be a buff to Crustle more than anything.
Yeah.
Because, like, for
maybe
one aspect
maybe
to
we
exist. Yeah, we... All right, Icarus wings
really
are on my back right now. We don't want this. Please take it back. This would be way too good. Mine wall bangs into a Crustle wall would be weird. Yeah, like, seriously, that's just, like, too... There's too much going on with that. I think it would be a Pandora's box level of change. That might be too much, but... Yeah.
Cool idea.
Yeah, well, it was fun to have, and now it's gone. So, There we are. Okay, I think, I don't even know if I said the layout of the schedule for it. Oh yeah, I think we did. At the start of the episode or before we started recording, but we got all kinds of things to talk about, Bridget. It's tournament stuff, it's patch notes inside the game. Bridget, where do you want to go first? Do you want to talk about Asia, North America, EU, or the patch? Where do we want to land?
Let's start with Asia.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let's talk Asia. So, we talked about the format of the Asia World Championship Series qualifiers quite a bit on last week's episode. So, if you missed out on that, it'd be episode 101, and we discussed that pretty in detail. But just basically, to catch everybody up, APAC has been having a landslide of their qualifier tournaments the last few weekends, including this last weekend, the weekend prior, and this upcoming weekend will be the final qualifications for Asia Pacific. So we have Team MYS qualify, Team Elevate, Team... oh gosh, who else? There's so many. Shin and Rude qualified, and then any others if you want to fill in here, Bridget.
Soul 8, who had the really good run in, was it ACL, through the losers? Were they the one who ran through the losers bracket, or were they the one who
SAUL
made it to Worlds last year?
Yes, that's them. So SAUL were the ones that made it to Worlds last year. True Gravity, who got sponsored by some other organization for their tournament, for regionals, they did not win. So India only has one world spot. So it was pretty in hot contention, but I think like who was True Gravity got top three. Godlike, thank you. But they did not make it out, but it was SAUL who made it all the way.
Yeah, they qualified for India. Elevate and Talon qualified from the Philippines. I don't know if I'm saying the Indonesia qualifier right, but Onyx Rise.
Okay.
Thailand
sweet.
Had Kekalok, which is a great name.
That's kind of cool. They also qualified too. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think those were all the ones, other ones I had from Asia.
Awesome. Okay, sweet. So yeah, a lot of teams entering the fray. Quite a few familiar names from Worlds past, which is like not a huge surprise. It's happening a lot in other regions. Actually, one of the most exciting things, or at least I'm excited about for Worlds this year, will to be like to talk a lot about like the teams that like on the podcast. Maybe I'll make a graphic or something. I probably will make a graphic. But like to have like all the players that have went to Worlds all 3 years would be really cool. You know, that we just kind of see who's done the three-peat. But
that'd be sick.
That'd be sweet. I mean, it's tough from year one, right? Because there's just so few teams invited compared to years
past.
Yeah,
like half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
I think like
about
less than half. No. Dang. No, not less than half. Almost exactly half. As there were 16. Yeah. For some reason in my mind, there was 12. But there was 16 teams invited. Not 16 teams didn't make it. I think 13 teams made it, but yeah.
Oh, true. Mm-hmm. True. I forgot about that.
People are saying Antic's not going. I think Antic's will probably go.
From
wait,
OCD?
Lan, you sent me a player. You sent me a list of players that three-peated for Worlds already? Oh my gosh. All right. Well,
wow.
I'll look for that. I don't know where you sent that to me, but thank you so much. Well, oh, also, Eeyore. Okay, I know this is a podcast, and people who listen to this podcast probably hate when I do this, but we're referencing chat a little bit. So sorry. If you want to, I mean, let's just show up live. That's the best place to catch the podcast. For real, Eeyore's in our chat. Eeyore, congratulations on qualifying for the World Championships. That's super sick. I can't wait to watch the VOD from your tournament run. That'd be really cool. India does deserve another spot considering how big the region is. Yeah, absolutely. Doopsnax and I were talking about this. Someone messaged Doopsnax, like, breaking down the entries. I don't know if this is true, but apparently they had, like, 200-plus teams enter.
India?
Yeah, that's Japan numbers. So,
yeah, that's insane.
To have one slot? Like, that is unbelievable.
And they
like,
don't
that
even,
needs to be corrected. A
I don't
sappity.
Even know if they can... they're not even, like, I think, invited to the LCQs either.
No, yeah, they're not a part of the APAC LCQs. Yeah. Yeah, NA had like 70 some for regionals. EU had less, obviously. LATAM North was similar to NA, but then LATAM South had quite a few less. But yeah, it was pretty crazy. Yeah. Yeah, they need to access to Unite originally. I mean, they got in before World Season 1. So, yeah.
True.
Yeah. Wild stuff. Wild stuff, really. But okay. So yeah, anyway, Asia has been going super exciting. Very, very cool tournaments there. If you want to watch some of those games, I'll probably be watching them on my stream like quite a bit over the next couple of weeks. So I'm really excited to do that. Bridget will probably join to VOD review some, I assume. I don't know. I'm going
to
ask.
Yes, I would love to. I watched.
If she says no now, if it's going to be super awkward.
I was trying to watch some of them while they were happening live. I watched some of India and what else did I watch?
That's cool. I haven't watched like a single game of India all season, so I would love to see some of their games. Especially because SAUL's making it again. Kirtan's saying that they're like their old team from India had like India had Lane Cinder in finals. So did EU. Yeah, I don't know. The stars aligned this weekend, everybody.
Literally.
So, yeah. Basically, on this podcast, I guess now that we're saying it, we're not really reporting much about the Asian regions, just that they're happening. So, yeah. Next episode would be much more informed about the state of the teams, what the metagame they're playing in, and everything like that, and talking a bit more in depth about those, because we're going to do our own research and get caught up. Obviously, it was a pretty busy weekend for both of us. You were being an epic shooter gamer, and I was casting some stuff, but
yeah, the same thing, really.
Exactly. Really, honestly, we all have our burdens to carry. We are going to be definitely breaking down all those games in the near future, but some games that we were very familiar with, which of course was the NA group stage that went down on Saturday. So NA group stage was pretty sweet. I enjoyed those games quite a bit. Group stage, so a bit of behind the curtain. Group stages are very, very hard for broadcast for a variety of reasons. One, you only can show so many games on broadcast. That's a problem for any of the tournaments or whatever. Like, that's fine. The problem is, it is just so hard to do group stages when the overall like stakes and storyline and everything just isn't there yet until you're in a bracket setting. The format of it kind of opens itself up to it, which we talked a little bit about, not a little bit, we talked a lot about it on last week's episode, which basically second place of the groups going immediately into the loser's bracket, which obviously we all said that we're not really a fan of, but it's the format we're with right now, so just gonna be rolling with it. I think it worked out okay in EU, so in terms of what it looked like Yalla Bingo proved that a run can still happen, you know what I mean? So but all of that aside, it made it a little more exciting. But what helped was that the games were like sick in NA. I don't know if anybody in chat or if you got to watch much of it. I know Saturday was your tournament day, Bridget, but the group stage games in North America were a freaking blast to watch. There were so many fun games. We got to see some good ones. Obviously, some of my favorites. Orange Juicers versus Hades was a really good game. It was a bit of a heartbreaker for Hades. I think they kind of just lost the momentum after they lost that game, and from then on it was just really tough for them to gain it back. G versus Luminosity was an unbelievable game. I don't know if you got to see that one.
That's the one I think I got to watch, or the set I got to watch like a little bit more of, because it was fun. I think we were like waiting, or I don't know, we were probably on a break at that point, because I was a lot more tapped into EU than I was with NA, especially because like you said, like I did want to know who was going to NAIC, but it's not like, oh, I'm finding out who's going to Worlds right now, like EU was, so.
Exactly. Yeah, so, which I think that's totally fair. We can take a look at just kind of the breakdown of this group here on screen, but I mean, the story of the weekend, I'm not going to lie, was Wonder Chef and I getting absolutely gifted with some great games, like, to cast. Like, we got a lot of the good ones.
I think so, too.
Like, oh, shoot, we get this one, too. Okay, sick. G versus Luminosity was obviously the story there is it was Slash versus Overlord, like, which was sick. G pulling it off was unbelievable. A one-point victory.
So sick.
I mean, I will fully admit this. I fumbled the frickin' bag on the cast in that game. I did not give that moment near enough hype as it needed to be. Luckily for me, Wonder Chef is a freaking industry professional and killed yeah. it. And like had like so much. I was like, oh my God, or whatever. Like at the end, like he
killed it. Yeah, I could like hear
it.
His voice. Yeah.
It was so good, but it blindsided. I was like, it was that close?
Like, yeah, you're like, didn't even realize.
I was totally blindsided by how close that was. So, I mean, congrats to G. I mean, coming out first place in the group, they got to feel freaking awesome.
So sick.
Mostly because they beat LG. But another piece, because they're a team that is, like, in a position where they need to win regionals or win the final stretch to go to Worlds. So this is like obviously an unbelievably important moment. Black saying I was yelling at Egg to score. Well, hey, good call. Good call. It ended up working out for y'all. So that was really sick. But yeah, we got to see some great games here too. That's true, Q. You did not go 0-3. Good to see. So yeah, that was a super fun game. Was there any other games you heard about or knew about? Bridget, that you wanted to talk about?
I feel like Ignorant, I was able to catch. I feel like they were like maybe like the last. Was it them versus YT? That was the last one.
I think so.
Yeah, I was able to watch that. Yeah, Ignorance looked awesome. Ignorance I'm actually really super good. Stoked mm-hmm. for their run in top 8. Too. And obviously Nihao was the
variable.
Yeah, what the heck, guys?
Oh my word. Yeah, Kirtan's been hanging out in our chat for this podcast episode, but yo, this team, I mean, I am so excited to watch this team play at NAIC. Kirtan, please make sure y'all make it there, because this was it's such a cool story. Obviously this is like the craziest group, right? Like this group, because of seeding and everything, just gets weird and
very
chat's talking about it a little bit too. YouTube played not their game, you know what I mean? Like YouTube looked to be in a pretty rough spot. It's kind of a heartbreaker that we're not gonna see I did see that on Twitter. You guys are going to be there, but Blush can't make it because of visa stuff. That is a huge bummer. That sucks. I like Blush a lot. They were cooking on that Guardian game. Not on the Pika game. But anyway. Yes, I don't know. Seeing Nihao and Ignorance emerge from this group is so sick. But it is a heartbreaker to not see YT in a top 8. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's and an AIC, like they are just such a fan favorite team. I like a few people on the Eruption squad too, so it's like dang. I don't know. But that's the nature of competition, you know? We got to see them in some games. If you're a fan of these teams, you got to cheer them on. And that's all right.
Are they doing the last stretch or the final stretch?
I don't know if YT is. I genuinely don't. I would have to get someone to sound off in there. I know
just curious.
Some of those players. I don't know if she's in chat. She might be able to let us know, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'll be really curious to see, especially from like the top 16, how many of them are planning to do.
Yeah.
Dude, final stretch is going to be crazy. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. NAIC is going to be crazy.
It is going to be so crazy. Okay, the other groups though, Orange Juicers clear in their group, absolutely crushing it. 2-1 versus Hades and Paragon though. Can we talk about Paragon as well?
Literally, yeah. So, I didn't get to see, I don't think, any of their games really.
Yeah, so Paragon is, I hit the back button, it's probably going to send me to like the nether realm when I do that. StarGG gets a little nasty with it. Here we go. Let's take a look at Paragon's game. So Paragon, they lose 1-2 to Orange Juicers. But so Hades did DQ from this event. It was post Paragon. So it wasn't like Hades just left, right? Paragon was able to 2-1 Hades and then 2-0 Brave Birders. This roster, I know we're like so impressed and like kind of losing our minds over Nihao, right? This is another team. Obviously, they're going to be starting in losers bracket, going to have like a pretty tough road to the finals. But I don't know. This roster has just been impressing so much. I have a special place in my heart for this team too, because like Lunair, Tie-Dye, Melon, probably Will and Slippy, I do recognize those players too, are just like off-season tourney grinders, right? like these are just squads that are entering every battle hub, every if we have Mayhem, they'll be invited, but also like every underdunk, right? Like these teams are putting in the time to get to this level, and it's like, heck yeah, this is what it matters most, and they clutch it out. So I am psyched to see this team especially get the paid trip to NAIC. It's so cool. So I'm pumped to see this squad. I am gonna beg on my hands and knees that Lunaire has their proper name on screen, so I'm not calling them by somebody else. But yeah,
that's a big ask. Awesome. That's a tall order. We'll see.
No, Hades does not DQ every tourney. That was Rack or AKA Hotspot, and they got DQ'd this time before we even started. So I'm very happy about that. not paid actors in this one. Lastly, Nemesis 2-0 their entire group. Are they the only team in NA to go 6-0 through groups? I think so.
Yeah. I don't.
Okay. They also didn't make my power rankings. I'm absolutely cooked.
I did notice that.
Okay. So here's the thing about the power ranking segment. One, it was before this.
I don't know, man.
So that's the first thing, because I'm going off of NA April, where they got third place to the two other NA teams that were on my top 10. But I also did have a chance to change it, and I didn't move them onto the list. It's because instead of moving them onto the list, I took off True Gravity and I added like MYS, and I moved like Shin and Rude around a little bit. I think I'm going to throw Talon on there too. Like, I just like worldwide power rankings are so freaking hard. Like, they are so hard. But my next ones will be perfect. I just want that to be so good. Abundantly.
That's what works. That's what we're expecting.
Exactly. Thank you. That is big true. Also, You Feel Me had their jungler DQ mid game during the exile set. That's a heartbreaker. That's a heartbreaker. But we've all played this game for years. We know what you're getting into when you sign up for a tournament. You know what I mean?
It could happen to you. Restart that bad boy after every game.
Well, I think even if you do, you know, like, but that sucks. Like, I'm never gonna be like, I don't want to sound like I'm like, like, no, like that. That's honestly.
Like, just glad that happened to you.
Yeah, dude, suck. No, I like you a lot. I think it's Talonflame's sick. Anyway, So yeah. Anyway, that was NA. We talked about a couple of the games we really liked. Obviously, the final game of the day didn't end up mattering because of another game that concluded off broadcast, which is why it was slated for broadcast. So it was like a bummer that we still had it. However, it kind of delivered, because we had Duraludon on camera. We had an all supports team. The Duraludon was sending Spraggles, by the way. It was Duraludon sending Spraggles, and it was Sableye sending Doobsnacks. And it was just so funny to see them both like maniacally giggling while casting about how much they love those two Pokemon. Except it was Flash Cannon, and Spraggles doesn't like Flash Cannon. But other than that, yes, Otter did play Dura. It was awesome.
That's insane.
Yeah, big fan. Of course it was Otter. It was only Otter. And then the last thing, and Bridget, I'm sure you would have seen some of this. It was very cool. This time around, we had another member of the broadcast. We were able to bring in Ender kind of on retainer to call in remote, like, for the whole 2 days. It was wild. Like, they were able to bring in Ender for the whole time. So we had Ender in for some drafts. We had Ender in for a lot of like post-game interviews or mid-game interviews were the really big one, which is nice. I feel like that really broke it up, because we have a lot of players like restarting their games all the time, and it can like really like stretch out those fill moments in between games. So it was awesome to have Ender there for those components. My favorite one was during that one. It was just him shaking his head. He's like, why is Lutano letting them get away with this? He was just like, yeah, that would never, that would never happen when I'm still around.
I think he said, like, he could, he's like, you guys are having too much fun. Stop having fun.
Well, Doomsnack said that explicitly. And then Ender was like, yeah, like, I was always like, we're here to play. We can't be doing that. And yeah, and then it was just like, oh no.
Chaos mode.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, Q, I thought the Zard pick was fun. I think if you won with it, a lot more people would be positive on it, but it was a bit of a...
Got him.
Charizard is a bird, though. That is true.
I liked the bird segment.
The bird segment was surprisingly good. I did like that I got to throw more shade at Zugchat. I love whenever I get the opportunity to do so. And we were able to toss it over, which was awesome. But, okay, we talked a lot about NA. Obviously, now we know the top eight going to NAIC. We can look forward. I'm not a cat. We will look forward to the NAIC preview show that we'll be doing surely quite soon. So we're going to move past that because we'll talk about that region a whole lot more later. Let's move over to EU, which had their group stage off stream. We got Pump to come on and talk a little bit about what went down on the group stages.
I loved
cool.
that too.
Pump's the best. There's a few people in the Unite scene where you don't really need to have more than one question planned. You know what I mean? You just kind of toss him one, and you're like, there we go. Interview set.
When he immediately was like, oh, Spreckles, I was so excited to see you. I guess you really weren't excited to see me. Because he, like, messed up the transition or something. I was like, so oh, I love this man.
He cooked him. Cooked him.
Like, immediately. The first thing he said. I'm like,
one thing I will say... I think I maybe did mess them up because did you get to see the little gag that we did with all of our like names and instead of our Twitter ads, I put in like little funny jokes for each of us?
Yeah, they were cute.
Yeah, so I think I really like Spraggles did not know that was coming, and I also had to really like force him to look at it, and I think that sort of sent his flow a little out of whack. I think
your fault.
I know, it is my fault. I take full credit. Wow. I think the inside Pokemon Unite guy was a great gag. I was very happy with that one. But anyway, that was a lot of fun. We got the cool interview with Pump, and then we got to take a look at EU. We got to watch a lot of the games, actually. I was pretty pumped. We only missed a couple of them. I think we missed three matches in total. And, you know, I'm not too worried. Like, honestly, for a broadcast as long as the ones we do, I thought we got a lot of good stuff. So, pretty happy.
I agree.
With this. Yeah. So, the day started off. We wanted to watch Nouns Esports versus Vamos. Vamos is just that team that always felt like they were knocking on the door, ready for crazy potential. It was like, if Nouns is going to get so beat close. By anybody on this winner's side, it feels like it would be Vamos. And then Nouns started the day like, all cylinders firing. It was like, oh, okay, this team is playing today. Because it was Wonder Chef and I casting that one, and then we got, I believe it was, yeah, that's right. No, Wonder Chef and I got so many good games. It was insane.
Literally.
Yala versus Tally. It's
bro.
Unreal that game even existed. Was so crazy. But yes, we got to do that game. Unreal fun game. 2-1 Yala Bingo. Extremely close. Just a freaking great set. Honestly, one of the best sets of the day, potentially.
Yeah.
Really, really exciting. We had a lot of players from Yala Bingo, I think, like, stepping up maybe more than we've really ever seen from that squad. Like, it was individuals, but also, I think Yala Bingo showed a level of coordination that they potentially just, like, have not been showing all season to make this run. Mm-hmm. So it was really, really cool. Good news for Yala Bingo. They make it all the way to the Losers Finals, which secures them their World Championship spot and the paid invite. So Nouns Esports winning means that they were the top performing championship point team. So Yala Bingo will also get the travel award, which is like most teams' main intent out of this tournament, right? Is to go to Worlds and to get paid to do so. So yeah, they are pretty excited about it. Obviously, they would have loved to take home the championship or at least get a little bit more prize money, but in the end, I think they're very happy with where their performance. But it was Yeah, it was true. Oh, yeah. Smim saying in chat, Marv is a top two tank in EU, and it's kind of close for number one. Genuinely believe so. Watching Marv play was, it was brilliant. I was like, he is doing stuff that, like, I mean, bro, it's bro versus Marv, right? I think for a top tank in EU competition. And it was... God, it was so sick. I don't know. It was awesome. I see some conversation. I see that guy talk a little bit about, like, Tally underperforming Worlds qualifications. I totally get that. But you got to award, like, season-long performance, right? And we got to award consistency, too. And they did incredibly well for parts of the season. So they got months to clean it up. We'll see. But anyway, so those were the first few games. Bridget, were you able to watch any more of EU? Any of these other games really stand out to you that we got to see?
I had EU on. I mean, I was, like, doing stuff, so I wasn't, like, taking notes necessarily all day, but mm-hmm. I had the broadcast on all day, and watching Yalla Bingos, like, glide through the loser's bracket yeah. was just, I mean, the Tally Bobo game was obviously, like, it really felt like either team, especially in that game three, but...
Oh, my word. They were just so patient and, like, afraid. Yeah. It was like, both these teams know, like, what's at stake here. Like, it is so crazy. Because
yeah, and man. I just felt like, I mean, the Vamos game and the, I can't say the, Kados
game. Los Kados, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Yalla Bingo just looked in shape. Like, they just did not... I was really feeling like they could win everything, because that's the other regional they won, came from loser's bracket, I believe. So I'm like, once I get momentum, it feels like they're locked in, but...
Yeah, agreed.
Dude, connoisseurs, like, that's all I remember. I feel like we're the connoisseurs game, so...
Yeah, let's jump into those. So, yes. Connoisseur is another roster that I think a lot of people do. This is Klaus's new stack. They're playing with Gecko Kami again, which is really sick. I, obviously, a player we really do love on this podcast. Galaxy, Klaus, Lukita, and Snow on this roster. Where the hell has Snow been?
Literally, I don't know. I was like, I don't know this person, but... This is shenasty. I saw that they are a new attacker, or like they weren't an attacker player.
Until like they are now.
Recently.
They yeah. are now.
I think Klaus wrote it like kind of like a long post about the team, or maybe it was Gek.
Yeah, I think they both did. yeah, I'm not sure. Tonally what they fit. I know Snow was just like showed up and was like, yeah, it was really cool to see. I talked about it a little bit at on the final desk segment. We were doing like final thoughts of EU and stuff. Obviously was so excited to talk about Nouns and their dominance and stuff. I do think we have like, let's mention it, like how heartbreaking for connoisseurs, you know what I mean, to like
to make it
all the way through group stage on the winner's side. You make it to the grand final, like you are literally like, it's in your hands. If you qualify, you go to Worlds. Like, that, it is so close. Like, that is... I can't think of something much more heartbreaking in competition. Like, I really can't. Like, it is brutal. Obviously, like, I think what everybody's thinking around this team is not like, oh, come on, how could you not beat Nouns? It's like, what could have happened if these players were playing together for more than 2 weeks? I think is the major conversation. So... I don't know if these players are going to be back for good. Like, obviously, there's a few players. Like, Gek was retired for a little bit, came back before April finals, and then played in this one, too. And I don't know. I think Gek proved a billion times over he is still unbelievably good at this game.
Oh, I was... His Wiggly, I was crying. God.
We were singing the praises. So, a little bit of lore around Gecko Kami and the Wiggly tank. He was, and he claims this, but I don't have any evidence to refute it. He says he was the first person to play Wiggly tank. And, like, you gotta remember, Gek was back playing this game before the region split. He was one of the first, like, players you could truly call, like, a pro player, like, a part of the Love D's, the Pip Champs, the white... He was on White Flag back in the day. Like, he was one of the White Flag gamers with, like, Xavier and that whole crew. So, it's like, that was... He was there, and he was the first one to play Wiggly tank. And, honestly, into Zoro Comfy... It makes so much sense. Like, yeah. The ability to... Because everybody talks about Zoro Comfy having Slowbro into it, because that's a great Zoro counter already. But, like, it's the idea of grabbing both Zoro and Comfy at the same time. Because basically, instead of just hyper shutting down one Pokemon, you get to double down. So Slowbro and Mimikyu get brought up a lot because of that versatility. Sleep does it on cooldown without a Unite move. Like, I didn't... Like, Comfy's getting the sleep thingies, too. Like, I think that is genius. I was like, I can't believe, like, that actually makes so much sense to, like, play the Wiggly into the Zoro duo. I actually love it. It's so brilliant. It didn't win, but I do think the pick was...
But it looked so good.
Yeah, exactly. The pick was so good. So yeah, connoisseurs looking so... Bridget, please, the floor is yours. Talk about Lukita's trick Hoopa, the one trick Hoopa. They were on that build every game.
I wish Dupesax was here. He's not a believer.
Yeah, maybe there's a reason he didn't show up for the podcast, huh?
Calculated. I think I literally typed in chat the first time I saw it, suck at snacks, because I was so happy. And I think Nouns played it in some of the grand sets.
They did.
I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were kind of.
They played it in April too. It never won in April, but they did play it in April. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so fun to see, like, almost like the mini meta formed in tournaments, especially like teams that, I mean, how many sets did we get to see of Nouns and connoisseurs, like, total,
right?
Like,
in total,
so
it
many
would be, 10 games, 10 individual
like,
games. Yeah,
oh, it's so fun. They're like, okay, well, let's steal this away because it's getting annoying, and use it against them. And yeah, I loved it. It looked great. They had
so
like
good.
The Phantom Force, like, dodging and bobbing around, like, that coordination is, like, I think very difficult to, like, achieve, because it's a weird moveset, and most DPS players are not playing Hoopa, especially, like, the off-brand Hoopa build.
Mm-hmm.
So to just, like, have the vision and trust between that support and everyone else in the team, it was sick.
It was
sick.
So good.
It looked so good. I was really happy.
Oh, the way they used it was just so good. Like, it wasn't just on your typical DPS carry that they're, like, trick portaling too, right? Gek used that shit so much. Like, he would X scissor in as Krustle and then be in the back line. I'm like, this is so awesome that these players are, like, building this up. Like, I don't know. It was cool to see that Connoisseur wasn't just a roster of, like, talented players that had a pickup team and made it work. Like, they were creative as well. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. They were a great story. It's so unfortunate and, like, a bit of a tearjerker that their story's ending at UIC. But like I said, I mean, there's players that have made a name for themselves now, like, so well going forward into year four. Like, look at people like Lukita and Snow, Gek coming back, and Klaus. And I really should have said before I remember the fifth player on this team. I obviously know them. I casted them so much. Galaxy. How can I forget Galaxy? Galaxy looked amazing in the top path. They were, like, one of the only people to stand up to Potato in the top path, by the way. And Potato's, like, they're also one of the only teams to, like, draft really heavy against Potato. They're like, fine, Lunder can have whatever. We're going into Potato. And it was a good call. Oh my god. And Lunder's Mew all tournament long. My god.
It felt like the EU tourney was the reason Mew was nerfed again.
Yeah.
Like, truly.
It really did.
Like, they have just insane Mew players.
They
I feel
do?
Like on Yala, Connoisseurs, and Nouns. Like, it's just... It looked so broken.
Yeah.
It looked so broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that guy Bridget
Bridget
was mentioning that Snow became an attacker player a couple days before, because that's insane. They must have played, like, some Mew games before, because no one just has, like, that on lock. It was
Seriously.
So sick. They looked great, obviously. I do think a large part of the fact that we're talking about Mew being so better, like, big at EU, is because Snow all of a sudden is, like, a new addition into the entry, right? Like, that is why all of a sudden there's this new narrative around this Pokemon in this region. So, but my god, that looked so good. Wow. Yeah. I'm like, I can't wait to go back and watch some of these EU games. Yeah. And then we get to the grand finals. Grand finals are interesting, right? Because nouns know they are going to Worlds, and nouns know for sure that they're getting the travel award. So it's tough to read some of the intentions of Nouns Esports at some point. And they know they have the cushion of a reset in grand finals.
Yes.
And so that colors in some of the choices they make with their Pokemon, right? However, one of them was Bullet Seed Greedent. And it had 100% win rate. It didn't freaking lose. It looked so unbelievably good. Gatlu was cooking on it. And they talked about it in the interview after. And they're like, it was really good in scrims. We didn't lose a game with it. So we built a team around it. And so maybe that wasn't the troll pick. We did have Toon Attacker Hoopa, which we talked about as like pretty cool. And then like Cinder, which looked really bad. But you know,
I wanted it to do good so bad.
I wanted the Cinder to do good too. That was troll. That was troll. But man, it is so, we talked about it before. It is so funny to hear the like collective joy just leave production's body when there's a bracket reset in the room. Like the casters are like, let's reset the bracket. And the production team's like, oh my god.
Yeah, I feel like all of EU is like, it's so late now. It's like, please stop picking Cinderace draft, man.
Oh my god. Spraggles mentioned it like kind of midway through the grand final set. I mentioned it the first time we saw Greedon. Wonder Chef and I were obviously watching the games, and I was like, imagine being Tally Bobo right now. And you have to have Nouns wins to qualify you for Worlds, and they're picking Bullet Seed Greedon. I'd be suing. I would be giving a lawsuit. I'd be like, this is unbelievable. Anyway, the game gets crazy. The bracket gets reset. It feels like Nouns Esports just locks in, finds something brand new, like a different gear, and just rocks it. Like, they just win three games in a row, not particularly close. Nouns Esports dominates, and it definitely makes like a case for them to be a world contender team. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
there's another reason we should have Doomsnax here tonight, but unfortunately he is not. But Doomsnax, notable critic of EU's performance and what they've looked like over the last few months. I was laughing on broadcast. Twice. We were doing predictions about who's going to win the tournament. His prediction was like, now it's Esports, and they better, because no one looks like they can win Worlds.
I remember that, because you were like, you have such a negative, like, well, tone.
I turned to Chef.
I think Chef did that.
Well, Chef was
so
just
funny.
Like, whoop, and I was like, well, if you ask Doomsnax, even if they win, they lose.
That's what it was. That was good. I was like, get him.
Damn. Well, Snax was getting them. I thought it was genuinely funny. I think Nouns Esports, though, I think they made their case. I don't know. I think they're looking good. I'm not saying they're a top region. I'm just saying I think Nouns Esports, man, it's tough to like make these calls yet, but I definitely think they are a team that could make it out of groups. I think Nouns has like, gosh, if they lock in, they like lock in. Like, I'm talking like boot camp lock in. We could see like a top four team at Nouns.
Maybe. I think they are creative and flexible enough.
Well, they definitely have that in spades. That's like their mate. They have Gatlu and Sereyu on this team now with Toon.
Yeah.
Like, that is like, they have a world of, there's nothing they can't play. Like, that is never going to
really
be a problem.
Like, seeing, like, their attacker player, like, yeah, be proficient in Hoopa. And, I mean, Toon's played, like, comfy on in tourneys before. Like, it's really, I think, an important factor to have. Especially, like, when you're playing these, like, longer sets or longer days. But they're it can be a little too troll sometimes. But I trust them. They seem to have it together, so
the Cinder one time. Also, I think this officially makes Toon the only two-time, he said it was made him the only two-time regional champion in EU.
Oh, yeah.
Is that true?
Who
Cool.
won? I don't know who won regionals first year. I guess Nouns, but San
Well, that would have been like Tallow
Toon.
and them again. I don't. Did they win regionals? Maybe they didn't. Who knows?
I'm not sure.
Anyways.
I just know Nouns won the Worlds.
He's the
I
only
couldn't tell you who else.
back-to-back regional champion. I see. Okay, that makes more sense. That makes more sense. Okay, fair enough.
He can
You
have
said
that.
back-to-back, not 2-time. Okay, cool.
That's fair. That's allowed.
Sweet. But yeah. I think that brings us to the end of the EU discussion, Bridget. I don't know if there's anything more you want to gosh, excuse me. I don't know if there's anything more you want to bring to the EU talk.
No, just
Cool.
connoisseurs were incredible.
They were so
It
good.
was awesome to watch their. It
Gosh.
was awesome to watch y'all's run, and I feel like once they got their world spot, they were like, they want to do well, but they're also like, we're chilling. So, yeah, it was just cool to see them get there, like kind of winning in, and yeah, it was cool to see Nouns like kind of feel like. Like I feel like you even said during the broadcast, like the team we all thought they were going to be like starting the season, and just they always have so many ups and downs. It was cool to see them kind of like end the season on a dub. So
Yeah, it
yeah.
was awesome. It was really cool to see. Yeah, if there's any team that I really wish, I doubt this is possible, but like I would love for them to go to final stretch and play like the
Oh,
Sea
so
Connoisseurs there or somebody.
sick.
That'd be so cool. But
Oh, I wish.
I don't think it's a possibility, probably for a few reasons. Europe to New Orleans is not a cheap flight, so I'm
No,
assuming
New
that's gonna
Orleans
be a
is
bit
kind
too
of
challenging.
hard to get to.
Yeah, is it? It's a little yeah, I guess. Yeah, either way,
So, I mean,
bit of a
it's
bummer.
probably no harder than Columbus, Ohio, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Columbus is great for the States. I feel like New Orleans is pretty good for the States too. It's like a bigger airport. Who knows? All right. Anyway, that is going to bring us to the end of our regional discussion. I did get a message from Landhans who sent me the players who have three-peated. I think we'll talk about this next weekend. Or next
Yeah.
ep week's episode, Landhans, when we have the final APAC LCQs, just in case that qualifies anybody else, and of course Japan will
Are
be the big
the
question mark too. But
Asia LCQs this weekend?
APAC 2 LCQs are both this weekend, yes, both west and
Nice.
east. Yeah,
Oh,
which
heck
is weird
yeah.
because now they're not subdivided anymore, so
I
now all the
know.
subdivisions play together in the LCQs, which is like kind of cool, but yeah, it's a little confusing.
Agree.
But yeah, it happens. Yeah, sweet. That's awesome. Thank you so much for all your help, Landheads. Okay, so the final thing we got to talk about before we end the podcast today, Bridget, of course, is a patch that just hit the game. Was it yesterday? No, it kind of happened on Sunday, I think. The patch went live like really late Saturday night and Sunday. I'll bring it up on screen, but I don't know if we'll go like super in depth into these like we always do.
It wasn't too
Yeah, it
much.
wasn't too much. It felt like a pretty nice competitive patch. Do you have a
Yes.
favorite change out of this one? I'll start with mine. Gutting Blastoise, it made me want to dance in the rain.
True.
I can't wait. Yeah, Eeyore, you're right. Having this patch before ACL qualifiers is a bit of a bummer. It feels like they just kind of went with the majority rules. Like it was after Japan, it was after NA and EU, like everybody else is
Yeah,
like.
after
The
most
APAC LCQ is
things.
happening. It's just, I agree, but also these patches are already like a month apart. Like they are, oof, I don't know.
Yeah,
Anyway,
this was needed,
it was
IMO.
needed. It
And
was
at least,
needed.
hey, we've gotten patches like 2 days before, like a regional before, so at least
Yeah.
it's like 5 days.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, copium,
Okay.
sorry.
But anyway, back to celebrating Blastoise's death. I'm pretty bummed.
Woo!
I don't know if this thing's actually gone competitively, but gosh, to see how many things about this Pokemon got hit. Water Gun, Hydro Pump, and Water Spout all getting reductions in terms of damage. I think in some cases in reduction of the slow. Yeah. The Hydro Pump stun duration and
Yes.
okay, I guess it's just on Hydro Pump. Honestly, it's one of my favorite changes. I am so excited about that change. That is sick. So yeah, Blastoise change being really huge. I see Q saying that the Gyarados change they're a really big fan of, the Unite move energy requirement being increased. That makes sense. Its Unite move being that low was a little ridiculous. But yeah, yeah, having the lurking like Jaws kind of moment just on an immediate movement is a little quite
right,
powerful.
Right, you can't really do anything when it's just like charging at you. It's like, okay, just, you know, get it over with.
Yeah, so if you get to use that at 3 minutes and at Rey, like, come on now. Yeah, so I like that change. How about you? Any of these changes you were pretty excited about?
I am honestly a big fan of this patch. I know new players are in shambles, but it's literally been broken since it released. Like, it probably isn't even that bad, but I definitely haven't seen it very much. My favorite one, though, is definitely Cramorant.
Hey!
I have been really enjoying, I've been playing Surf Hurricane, and it's been really fun. I've actually been really enjoying it, but I'm really excited to see Cram get some love. I'm like, when's the last time we got a Cram buff and not a Cram nerf?
Honestly. You know? Yeah, good for him. About time. Yeah, Cram. I mean, Cram, just the sucker for pain in this game. And
exactly.
Every video ever produced by this game's Twitter account is just Cram getting absolutely curb stomped by some new Pokemon.
Like, why don't they ever change it? Why is it always him?
Oh,
that
it's
has
awesome.
To be a conscious choice.
It's like a Cram for size perspective kind of thing, you know, like banana for scale kind of thing. It's like, so that's how big it is. Okay, good to know.
Oh, yeah, crammy.
Pretty wild. The dive buff is cool. So the cooldown decreased by 1 second. That was already the more popular build on Cramorant, was the dive air slash component. So being able to use that a little bit quicker is kind of cool. I think you'll just more likely or more often have max charges of dive, which is awesome. And then Hurricane is getting the buff in terms of the damage number. Slider going to 11, the base getting increased by almost 100, and then the 20%, almost 20% boost in ratio. That is pretty crazy. Like, that's a lot of
it's pretty nice.
Yeah, no more is it just a like CC spell, right? Like, that is a genuinely good damaging spell. So you're playing Surf Hurricane, yeah? Have you tried Dive Hurricane at all?
I haven't.
Okay.
From what I've seen of other people playing it, it seems like kind of like, why would you? They don't really synergize from the vibes I get, but.
Yeah, it's interesting. It feels like late game, it's like, fine. It's like, great, I have this Hurricane spell I can use and I can get away from anything, or I can chase something. That's like kind of what it seems like, but it's like, well, if I'm chasing something, I'd rather have Air Slash to kill it when I get there.
Right.
Yeah, it's just kind of like you're trying to keep a flipper in both worlds. I don't know. I'm not a fan. We would be remiss if we didn't talk about this one. As a long list, Tyranitar getting its HP stats increase, its defense stats increase, and its special defense increase. And this is one of those cases, often I feel like when we talk about these changes on the podcast, it's like, all right, well, it's definitely a huge boon in the early game, and then it kind of scales off to where it was. This just kind of was a flat increase across the board, like by 20. In every department, in defenses, and then the HP, like, it's like early game and it's late game, all getting a buff. Is that like Tyranitar Hollowware coming out or something? Like, what's going on?
he already got his Battlefast. I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Really understand this.
Let's be fair though. This Pokemon has like one of the lowest win rates in the game. Has not been seen competitively in Fortnites. Fortnite, I'll let you know. And now it's everywhere. People are loving this Pokemon again. I think Spraggles posted about this on Twitter. I'm kind of posing the question. Has this Pokemon always just been kind of decent? And people are just now acknowledging it again? And like playing it enough that it looks good? Or what are your thoughts on that, Bridget? I'll throw in my two cents, but I'm curious what your thoughts are on that.
I would say a combination of things. Mm-hmm. I do think, I mean, it's hard to say. Like, Titar wasn't bad if you could get to level 9. The problem with getting to level 9 is there are Eevees that are existing and invading your jungle. And
they're still there.
Level 5, but Glaceon has been nerfed. And honestly, I don't know about you guys, I'm banning Leafeon. Every single solo game.
Yeah,
I'm
or
not
Umbreon.
Anymore. Yeah, I don't know her. So I honestly think having draft is a big help because I mean, honestly, Metagross got a pretty big buff too,
yeah.
But T-Tar, you can't play Metagross if there's a T-Tar.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's
not.
Kind of funny that it's like, at least even just playing solo queue over the past couple days, like seeing like the ladder meta shift. It just felt like T-Tar required too much initially. So now it actually feels like it's level 5 is not the worst thing in the world. I don't know if it necessarily needs jungle, because I feel like Larvitar is actually pretty solid in lane. And if you have an EXP share and you're having a good time in lane, you're hitting level 9 pretty fast. So
yeah. You're probably not getting it by like first Regi if it's just like a passive game, but if you get a KO too, even like, or if you get like a full clear of mid birds, you're like, I could hit 9 in this moment. Like, it's pretty crazy. Are you playing the Stone Edge Sand Tomb build? Are you seeing that more?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Almost exclusively.
Yeah.
I feel like.
It seems so good now.
Stone Edge seems like the wave.
Yeah. I think Sand Tomb had its like hot minute where people were like, oh, this is really good. I want Sand Tomb more than I want Ancient Power. And then people kind of reverted. But I think Sand Tomb was just kind of always good. And then the changes made it better. But Stone Edge being buffed now, I think, yes. I think this is probably the Chekhov's gun. That's not how that works. I think this is where this Pokemon is truly starting to exceed from now. Deals damage to enemies in a 90-degree cone, dealing more damage the closer the enemies are to the user. This move can be used up to 3 times with the cone widening to 135 and 180 degrees. I love MathCord for getting the protractors out to determine the angles at which the cone is widened to. But yeah, of course, attack scaling damage, a lot of percentile damage, so obviously a Pokemon that would really like to stack with. One of my favorite parts of Tyranitar is that it has 3 passives. It has Guts, Shedskin, and Sandstream.
Did not know that.
But they're like exclusive to like the forms, right? So it's like only Larvitar has Guts, only Pupitar has Shedskin, and only Tyranitar has Sandstream. I do think we should give Tyranitar a 4th passive. I think that would be hilarious.
Why not?
That would be really fun. But yeah, do we start seeing Comfey bans for Metagross and T-Tar mains? I think people should be banning Comfey already. I think that Pokemon is insane. Clefable honestly feels a little stronger to pair with Tyranitar, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've been playing Helping Hand and Safeguard got a cute little buff as well, which I've honestly been having fun with.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of the things that have gotten buffed actually pair pretty well with it.
Yeah.
Razor Leaf, Ducky, T-Tar, Cram, all kind of enjoy having.
Okay, that's the last one I think we should talk about, is the Razor Leaf Desi. So I've seen both opinions in our chat tonight. Smim saying that people are hating, it's actually a great build. There's people out there like me who think it's atrocious. You know, it's a thing. Leaf Storm got a buff. It now slows for longer,
yeah.
I think it is.
Leaf Storm is the problem.
Yeah, Leaf Storm.
Maybe not problem, but.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good now. Like, I don't know. I think it's good. I think you always want Shadows. Shadows Sneak is so good. That move is unbelievable what it can do for you. But either way.
Shadow Sneak feels like you're being more proactive, and Leaf Storm is you mispositioned, and now you have to push them away from you. So, I get it, but it's just kind of funny, like, seeing a moveset that's basically been neglected since launch.
Yeah.
Just be like, just give them something.
Didn't
they get like the 2 Razor Leaf?
I thought it got a buff, like, a few patches ago, but maybe I could
Razor
be wrong.
Leaf?
Yeah.
Not that I remember. I have some friends who really like Razor Leaf, so I feel like I would have heard that they would have yapped about it more, but
yeah, who knows?
Maybe I'm wrong.
It was a little bit, it was like 3 or it was like 4, it may have been February patch. I'm gonna check.
Okay.
Right
now. Do it. I trust you.
It was a while back though. Like, it was a long time. I think it was when they changed Muscle Band and stuff.
You may be right.
It wasn't that patch. I'm spending way too much time looking at this because now I'm like, it's in my head and I need to know if I'm crazy or if I'm...
Quick, chat Wednesday last buff recently.
Other than that, I think there's a lot of Pokemon that I'm just excited are getting the nerfs, obviously.
Yeah.
Delphox, Glaceon. Yeah, I think they both really deserved it.
Glaceon nerf.
So happy. Anybody else get any big nerfs? Blastoise, obviously, we already talked about, though. Gyarados,
Mew.
Impactful. And then Mew. Yeah, Mew, we talked about. Arnie's also getting the nerf. Yet another patch where a lot of the tanks make it out scot-free a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
Trevenant feels...
Where's the Trevenant nerf? Where's insane. The Crustle nerf even again?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably don't need to hit Crustle. You probably
I
don't
would
need
say
to Crustle... Hit,
feels fine. Even
where's
just
the Umbreon?
The past...
Where's the Trevenant nerf? I think those are the two that you like touch a little bit.
Yeah, because I feel like Umbreon was almost like
Leafy.
Perma.
Yeah. Those are
almost
those
permanently
are the big
banned.
Missed, but more buffs, less nerfs. Yeah, I see that. I see that mentality. But yeah, I think that's our thoughts on the patch. We talked, I think the last little topic we'll talk about very quickly here, Bridget, because we talked about it literally last month when we did a patch discussion, because another one has hit. It is a pretty gentle patch.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I like this one a lot more than last patch.
I've been playing... so much Unite since this patch came
honestly,
out.
Honestly, yeah,
I don't
I've been,
know.
Like, thinking about it. I played it at work today. That's crazy.
I know. I've been like, sneaking games. I'm like, I have not really been, like caring about this game. Or, like, wanting to solo... I haven't been wanting to solo queue in months. So...
Yeah.
I, like you said, like, it doesn't feel like too much change. Some things definitely didn't get hit that probably should have. But it feels just different enough that I'm in.
Yeah.
Probably the excitement of worlds and stuff too. Sorry.
Oh,
probably Unite vibes. I'm high on Unite right now. But
for
actually
sure.
Playing, sometimes I watch UCS and then I go to solo queue and I'm like, just kidding, I hate it. So it's been fun lately.
Yeah, it's true. the one thing I'll say is, like, I get it. From, like, the either the hyper casual player or the content creator side of things, all these patches that are, like, extremely nerf heavy with very few buffs are probably not a huge incentive for someone who's never touched the game or has, like, very, like, has touched it forever to pick it up again. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, eh. But this patch, actually, I mean, the Tyranitar and Metagross buffs, you could make a case, are bringing people back. I think they are. I do get it as a content creator. It's not easy to be like, this move is broken now, when it's like just slight changes and stuff. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, this one is better than the last one. Like, that is what I will give it. I think I gave the last patch, I think collectively we gave it around a 6 out of 10. I would bump that up to a 7. Let's put this sucker at a 7. If Leafeon got nerfed, and if Leafeon and what was the other one we were talking about? Trevenant got nerfed, I think this would be like a 9 out of 10 patch. And maybe like Gengar buffs. And then I'd be like, oh hell yeah, 9 out of 10 to the moon.
Yeah.
But I think we'll get this.
I would agree with
a 7
that.
Out of 10 patch. I enjoy it.
I do wish we had like... I hope we get something... big this year. It feels like we haven't had very many Pokemon be released.
Yeah.
We've been on the same map for a while. We haven't really gotten any new emblems in a while. Like, kind of, I feel like the smaller patches, or like maybe less, more nerf heavy patches would be more palatable for like content creators and casuals if there was like, you know, it does feel like not the most, like, the hottest season of Unite, if that makes sense. So.
Yeah.
I would agree with that sentiment. I don't think necessarily, like, a huge patch is required, but I think if, I do hope, maybe for anniversary, there's something big, but
I hope they go hard
we'll
for
see.
The anniversary. It's always, the anniversary time is always sick for Unite, because it's just in partnership with Worlds usually, so it's like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
or
a very
Worlds.
Fun time
yeah.
for people who are also competitive minded, but I do hope it's a big deal for the game as a whole. Here's the thing, we all have to like acknowledge at some point, like, you know, China is still in production of their Unite
Real.
Client. When that first started getting announced and getting betas and getting really excited, stuff slowed down a ton on the global client. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's be honest here. Like, clearly there is, like, a space where they are putting their resources towards. They're saying China's going to release soon, though. They keep saying that. So hopefully when that comes out, we see, like, a little bit more of a resurgence to new stuff dot file in Unite. But who knows? That's what I'm hoping
for. That's a good mindset. Yeah, that's a good mindset as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for at the very least. But anyway, that being said, I actually really enjoy this patch. I'm super excited to play Unite. I've been having a ton of fun with the game recently. I know you have too, Bridget. And I know Zoopsnax is probably just playing Sableye games nonstop right now. So you know that that is also happening. So exactly. What I think...
Oh. Can we talk about the Sableye cake?
Oh my gosh. And how Zoopsnax just gripped the whole cake, icing it all. Oh my gosh, it was the best thing in the world. Yes. Okay, so I think, yeah, so we acknowledged it at the start of the episode. It was Zoopsnax's birthday yesterday, day of recording. We got the chance to surprise him on broadcast. He had no idea this was happening. We got to, like, put it on screen, like, the happy birthday, Zoopsnax, and everything. And then we got him a cake. And say, well, I want to gripping one. Yeah. So here we go. I'll bring it up
here
on
we
the screen again.
There yeah. All the right. picture is this still is so good.
This is something else. So Zoopsnax gets this cake, and to show it off on camera, he lifts it up and he's like, I don't want this cake to fall, and he just grabs the thing.
He just really clutches the corner of the cake raw.
He grabbed that cake raw. We had to make sure that he didn't drop it off. Also make sure that he had that corner. But it was pretty awesome. When we were in like a meeting a week beforehand, but just like going over like what the show was gonna be and everything, Zoopsnax couldn't make the meeting because he had work stuff. And in the meeting I was like, hey, it's his birthday. Can we do something for it or whatever? Like get him a cake or something? They're like, oh yeah, absolutely. And I was like, I don't know if this request is like way too last minute, but could we get a Sableye on that cake? And shout out to Esports Engine and like our production team at the studio because they freaking nailed it.
It looks awesome.
So good. It's like a bakery local to LA, and they apparently like did an Apex show like 2 weeks ago where they used used a few cakes for like props with like team printed on them and stuff. So they like went back to the same spot. It was awesome. Cake was delicious. It was birthday cake, like that like sparkly birthday cake flavor. It was so good. And it was Zoopsnax was like over the moon. You can like just tell on broadcast, obviously, like, this is awesome. Like he was like, this is so cool. he was really, really into it. So you can even see here. A huge thank you to everyone for the birthday wishes. Our gigantuan amount of love to somebody, me and somebody else, and production the Spraggles, Zoinks, and Wonder Chef, and production team for this awesome birthday surprise for our last studio show. Excuse me holding the cake like a deranged person.
Picture is so good because obviously Zoopsnax is like clutching the cake and Spraggles and Wonder Chef are just like standing there smiling, and Zoinks looks like a parent at like a child's like second birthday party, like trying to stop, like with his arms stretched forward, like about to like grab the cake if it falls out of Zoopsnax's hands.
It's exactly what was going through my head, but it was awesome. But obviously a very happy birthday from Bridget and I to Zoopsnax as well. Belated at this point in time, I guess. So if you're hearing this, you didn't know it was, please go wish him happy birthday on Twitter at Zoopsnax is where you can find him. Bridget, how about you? Where can people find you on the internet?
Since Zoopsnax isn't here to shout out my Twitter.
For real? What the heck?
I know, you slacking. My Twitter is just Big Bridget on Twitter. Maybe going to stream again this week. We'll see.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. You can find me at ZoinksCast, but more importantly, you can find the show basically anywhere where shows appear, mostly YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts. But if you look up Overdunk anywhere, you can probably find it. But youtube.com/UniteMics is a spot to go if you want to see these videos up in, or these episodes up in video form, rather. And of course, that's a spot where you can like the episodes, you can comment under the episodes. If you comment about it and you ask us a question, there is a very good chance, my very good, I mean like 100% chance that we will talk about it on the podcast. So I'd love to get some more interaction over there on YouTube. So if you're really liking these episodes, go over there. It's where all the terrible thumbnails are that I make in 10 minutes. It's my favorite thing to make crappy thumbnails. Go over there, comment underneath, and just be like, hey, I got a question about blank. It could be about anything, mostly about Unite, but it could be about us or whatever. And we'd love to talk about it on the podcast. So go over there, check that out. But other than that, we will see you all next week when we will now know the last two APAC teams and we can start talking about Worlds like a global thing, because it really is, and it's coming up so soon. It's going to be awesome. So thank you, everybody, for showing that love, and we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.